Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 66 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
He was a wonderful young man. He's always willing to help, and he was patriotic.
A Moorhead man remembers his nephew, who was killed in the Pentagon 16 years ago today.
The body of a missing 5-year-old was found this morning in Jackson County.
A Pike County man is under arrest after allegedly killing his brother.
Hurricane Irma will not bring much rain to eastern Kentucky.
Vandalism in Moorhead City Park means more security cameras will be installed.
In sports, the New Orleans Saints head to Minnesota tonight for the first Monday night football game of the season.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 50% chance of rain tonight with lows around 60 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
This is a somber day for one Broward County family. The relatives of Edward Earhart are remembering the former U.S. Navy Petty Officer First Class, who was one of 125 people killed when a terrorist hijacked an airliner and crashed it into the Pentagon on 9/11/2001. Earhart had been working there as a meteorologist. Former Rowan County Judge Executive Clyde Thomas is Earhart's uncle. Thomas calls him a tremendous young man who left him with some special memories.
Well, I remember when we had our usual family reunion, Labor Day weekend. He was always the first there and ready to help do anything at all that he was asked to do. And most of the time, he didn't have to be asked. He was just there and available, very helpful.
Thomas says Earhart was a patriot who was proud to serve his country as a member of the Navy. Earhart's relatives spent time at the family cemetery today honoring his memory.
The body of a missing boy from Jackson County was found today by Kentucky State Police. According to WKYT, 5-year-old James Spoonamore was the son of Jessica Spoonamore, who was allegedly kidnapped, beaten, and pushed over a cliff off Highway 89 by Lonnie Belt. Police say James was with his mother during the attack. The boy's body was found 180 feet off Sparks Ridge Road. Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders says it's a tragic day for everyone.
It's horrible anytime we have a death, but when we have a death of a young child, it hurts even more.
Sanders says Belt has been charged with assault, kidnapping an adult, kidnapping a minor, and tampering with physical evidence. Jessica is in critical condition at UK Hospital.
A Northern Kentucky school is on lockdown this afternoon due to an active shooter situation. According to WLEX, Harrison County Schools posted on Facebook saying that all of their schools are on lockdown and students will not yet be released. The post says this is because of an active shooter in the White Oak Pike area and that those living in the area should lock their doors and stay inside. According to WKYT, a helicopter could also be involved in the situation.
A man is dead after being hit by a car while trying to cross a busy road in Lexington on Monday morning. According to WKYT, the accident happened after 9:11 a.m. on New Circle Road near Industry Parkway. Investigators believe the pedestrian walked into the roadway. A black truck traveling in the outer loop hit the man. An ambulance transported the man with critical injuries. He later died as a result of those injuries, according to Lexington police. Police say that witnesses reported the man was behaving erratically before the crash and that he stepped out into traffic without looking.
A Pike County man is in jail charged with his brother's murder. According to EKBTV, 37-year-old Harold Brewer of Collins Highway was arrested Sunday afternoon. Police say he shot his brother, 48-year-old Greg Brewer, multiple times early yesterday morning, killing him. He then allegedly moved the body from the crime scene to the other side of his residence. Police were called to the scene when they received a tip from someone who saw the body in Brewer's yard. When police arrived, they allegedly found Brewer in possession of antidepressants, not in their proper container. Brewer has been charged with murder, tampering with physical evidence, possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, and a prescription not in his proper container. He's being held in the Pike County Detention Center.
A woman is in custody after a shots-fired incident near the Kiowa Mall. According to WSAZ, a chase involving a stolen car started on 13th Street in Ashland and ended across the street from the Kiowa Mall. Shots were fired, according to deputies, but it is unknown where they came from at this time. A female is in custody. The deputies involved are not injured.
Police have arrested a suspect in a burglary case at the Fleming County Animal Hospital. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has that story.
The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that 34-year-old Brandon Hamm of Flemingsburg was charged with third-degree burglary. Officer Brad Crawford answered a call reporting a burglary at the Animal Hospital on April 26, 2016. Once Crawford arrived, he found that $150 had been stolen, a window in the back of the building was broken, and blood found at the scene. The officer was able to collect a sample and send it to the Kentucky State Police Lab for DNA testing. The results matched Hamm, who was being held at the Mason County Detention Center on other charges. Hamm is currently awaiting a trial date on charges of first-degree fleeing or evading police on foot, resisting arrest, fourth-degree assault, third-degree criminal mischief, domestic violence, third-degree burglary, and second-degree persistent felony offender. For WMKY News, this is Logan Pemberton.
3 weeks after a riot at the Boyd County Detention Center, officials are learning how much the incident may cost. With more, here's WMKY's Sean Delaney.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, cleanup work continues at the jail. In August, around a dozen high-level offenders began a riot. The inmates started a fire and set off the facility's sprinkler system. As a result, 300 inmates had to be transported to other jails around the region. Kentucky Association of Counties, or KACO, is Boyd County's insurer. They currently are appraising the costs of repairs, inmate transportation, and other expenses. Boyd is eligible for $160,000 in damages and $500,000 in lost income. The county's insurance premiums may raise if KACO believes the incident could have been prevented. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
Lexington police are investigating a fatal stabbing that happened on Sunday evening. According to WLEX, officers were dispatched to apartments on Mooncoin Way around 9:15 p.m. They say that 37-year-old Antoine Hayes was found suffering from a stab wound. He was transported to a hospital where he was later pronounced dead. Investigators say they have no suspect description at this time, and anyone with information is asked to contact the Lexington Police Department at 859-258-3600. Stay tuned for the rest of your local news after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Security will be beefed up at the Green Hill City Park in Morehead after more incidents of vandalism. The city's Parks and Recreation Director is David Morris.
We had all of our no parking in the grass signs pulled up out of the ripped up out of the ground and tossed off to the side and bent a little bit, and it's kind of par for the course. We've had a little bit more vandalism down here over the past year than what we had in the past.
In the last several months, Morris says vandals have also spray-painted graffiti on various spots around the park, and the restrooms have been repeatedly trashed. He adds the cost for repairing that damage hasn't been much, but the Parks Department plans to spend about $2,000 to install more security cameras around the Green Hill City Park.
As Hurricane Irma moves inland, eastern Kentucky will not see much of an effect. That's according to meteorologist Ed Ray with the National Weather Service in Jackson. Ray says the storm has taken a shift.
Where it takes it further out into western Tennessee, Tennessee Valley, maybe west, a little bit of western Kentucky, northern Mississippi. So, I mean, it looks like it's going to continue northward and then take a westward turn towards the mid-Mississippi Valley. Doesn't even look like we're going to see a lot of rain. I mean, we'll see some. May see a little bit of gusty winds.
Ray says winds may be between 25 and 30 miles per hour, and he expects around half an inch of rainfall.
Morehead's St. Clair Regional Medical Center has become St. Clair Regional Healthcare. Officials from the hospital have announced the name change along with introducing a new logo. President and CEO Mark Neff points out that it's the third time the facility has changed its name. It was known as St. Clair Hospital when it opened in 1963, later becoming St. Clair Regional Medical Center. According to Neff, now being called St. Clair Healthcare, better reflects the diversity of services that his facility offers to the region.
As we've continued to grow, and certainly are much more than the hospital in terms of all of our various lines of business, that the broader term, the umbrella term, if you will, for the entire network across the region, we expanded to St. Clair Healthcare to give that impression of everything that we do.
According to Neff, the services provided by St. Clair Healthcare's integrated healthcare system serves a population of over 160,000 people in 11 counties.
The cleanup continues in Mason County, where a late July flood caused nearly $6 million in damage. Much of it happened in Maysville, where vehicles, homes, and businesses sustained major damage or were completely destroyed. Meanwhile, Mayor David Cartmill says the city's temporary water services are still in use.
We have had some you know, as always, when you have mains wash out or feeder lines, there are pressure problems that ensue, and we've had four or five breaks in one day. So we're trying to play catch up. You know, once we get the major trunk lines repaired, then we'll go to the services.
Cartmill says while it's hard to determine an exact number, several Maysville residents left homeless by the flood are still in need of permanent lodging. He's been heartened, though, by the number of those in the city who have been willing to volunteer to help their neighbors during the cleanup and repair effort.
The Shaping Our Appalachian Region initiative has made great strides in the past several years. That's according to Executive Director Jared Arnett. Arnett spoke last week at the Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce's monthly luncheon. According to Arnett, the rest of the country is starting to buy in to Appalachia's revitalization.
Having the opportunity to go to conferences and meet with people from outside the state and share the story that we're doing, people, they get excited because we, for the first time, are not saying poor Appalachia needs a handout. We're saying we can bring value to this country, to your company, to your organization. Let's build a partnership that's a win-win for both of us.
Arnett adds that his group's mission is to add 30,000 jobs to the region, in addition to replacing 10,000 coal jobs lost to the stagnant economy.
Visitors to Big Bone Lick State Historic Site will have a better understanding of the significance and history of the location now that a four-year, $210,000 revitalization of the Visitor Center is complete. Dr. Glenn Storrs is the head of the vertebrate paleontology at the Cincinnati Museum Center. He was a consultant on the project and helped organize the displays. Storrs tells Spectrum News when skeletal remains were found in the area in 1730, mastodons, giant bison, and the ground sloth had never been seen before.
These things were found here first before they were found anywhere else. And as a result, scientists started to question whether the Earth was a static place or whether it had changed through time. Because suddenly there were animals that they couldn't see anywhere else, and they felt, there's such a thing as extinction. It was unknown before then.
The project was funded by grants and public donations, spearheaded by the Friends of Big Bone organization.
Road work will begin on Kentucky 201 in Lawrence County soon, and commuters can expect delays. The work will last about 2 weeks while crews place four cross drains on Kentucky 201 to the Carter County line. Sarah George with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's Highway District 12 explains what that means.
The drains are underneath the pavement, so the blacktop has to be cut and removed to pull out the old drains and install the new ones, so traffic cannot drive through the work zone while this work is underway.
While the work is being completed, state contractors will also be replacing entrance pipes, widening the shoulder of the road, and pulling ditch lines. While this work is expected to continue into November, it will only cause minor traffic delays. Highway District 9 recommends those traveling from Carter County and northeastern Kentucky take detours on Kentucky 1496 to Kentucky 3, and if you are traveling further south, detour through Boyd County on U.S. 23 into Lawrence County. Taking a look at the weather tonight, overcast with showers at times, lows near 60 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. On Tuesday, cloudy with showers, thunder possible, highs near 75 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Tuesday night, rain showers early with clearing later at night, low of 61, chance of rain at 40%. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to cloudy skies and rain in the afternoon. High around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, Lexington 65 degrees, Flemingsburg 65 degrees, Inez 65 degrees, Winchester 64 degrees, Ashland 69 degrees, and in Moorhead it is 65 degrees.
On our feature segment today, some of Moorhead State University's community took time today to reflect on the tragic events that took place on this day in 2001. Ellen Barnett has more.
16 years have passed since the devastating attack on the World Trade Center and Pentagon in New York City. As memorials and remembrances take place across the United States, it's clear that many of the country's wounds are still healing. WMKY talked to some of Moorhead State University's community to see what thoughts they had on this day. Gary Mesa-Guido is a professor of art and design at MSU.
On the way to school, I heard that a plane had hit the tower, one of the towers, and I just thought it was an accident, that somebody just, lost control of a plane or something. But it wasn't until it got here and saw the second tower on flames that I realized that we were in a big, deep mess.
While faculty and staff can clearly remember their experience on that day in 2001, many of MSU's students were too young to remember much at all. Isaiah Ebarb is a sophomore.
I was 3 years old, almost four, so I knew some stuff, not really a lot.
Madison Witzlub is a junior at MSU and part of the ROTC program. When the terrorist attacks happened, she was in kindergarten in a small town in Illinois.
I think that natural or terrorist acts and disasters within the United States kind of build the United States up and bring Americans all together, and I believe that's going to be our strong suit in the future, and it's going to help us come together after any major attacks or natural disasters like hurricanes.
On the other hand, Mesa-Guido says he feels that same coming together may hurt us as a society rather than help.
We had, how many people stood up and said that they were Christians and loved God, and their first reaction was, let's go and kill everybody. What happened to turn the other cheek? What happened to love thy neighbor? And it seemed to me like that was the antithetical behavior to everything that our administration and everybody was claiming, that this was a Christian nation, and didn't seem to be that way.
For WMKY News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's 4:48 and 66 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Chaz Jenkins, and we are glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Monday Night Football kicks off tonight in the NFL. With more, here's WMKY's Sean Delaney.
Two games are scheduled for this Patriots Day. Game one sets the New Orleans Saints in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Drew Brees and Sam Bradford will square off at 7:10. Minnesota went 8-8 last season to New Orleans' 7-9 record. Come Game 2, we'll see the newly christened L.A. Chargers in Denver to battle the Broncos. That game is set for 10:20 p.m. The Chargers went 5-11 last season. The Broncos went 9-7. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
The Cincinnati Bengals try to put Sunday's disappointing 20-0 loss at home to Baltimore behind them. The game marked the first time the Bengals had been shut out in a season opener since 1979. It was a particularly tough day for quarterback Andy Dalton, who was sacked 5 times while also losing a fumble and throwing 4 interceptions. Head coach Marvin Lewis wasn't pleased, obviously.
We can't hurt ourselves with turnovers, and obviously we did that with the ended up with 4 or 5, whatever it ended up be, but we got the ball in the scoring zone a couple of times. We don't come away with anything, and we turn the ball over. They make the big play before halftime. And we come out in the second half, we get the ball right back, and we end up with no points there because of another turnover. So that's, the difference in the football game.
The 0-1 Bengals hope to bounce back when they face off with Houston on Thursday. Also in the NFL, Chicago Bears wide receiver Kevin White will be placed on injured reserve with a fractured shoulder blade, an injury that will likely require surgery and sideline the former first-round pick for the season. Arizona Cardinals running back David Johnson is expected to miss Week 2's game against the Indianapolis Colts at the very least. Because of an injured wrist, Johnson is meeting with a wrist specialist to determine if surgery is needed, which could cause the star back to miss even more time. And the New England Patriots are in the process of replacing the synthetic turf playing surface at Gillette Stadium that had been installed in May. Despite the field passing the NFL's playing standards, many Patriots players complained that the surface was too soft, resulting in the team completely replacing the new turf. The Morehead State football team is licking its wounds after the 58-17 shellacking it absorbed Saturday night at Liberty. The Flames, who are headed to the FBS level next season, got 5 touchdown passes from Stephen Calbert in building a 45-10 halftime lead over MSU. While disappointed in the defeat, Coach Rob Tenier says he likes the Eagles' never-say-die effort.
I was proud of our effort. It felt like we played really hard all the way to the end. Now that's starting to sound really cliche, but bottom line is we understand how to play right now. We're playing with great effort on both sides of the ball, and those things are what's going to make us successful moving forward.
The 1-1 football Eagles will travel to Austin Peay this Saturday. The Kentucky football team moved to 2-0 over the weekend with a 27-16 win over Eastern Kentucky. While saying he's pleased that his team is still undefeated on the young season, head coach Mark Stoops says he is not satisfied with his group's play through the first 2 weeks.
I'm not real pleased. There's a lot of things we have to do better, and we will. It's challenges. You know, we still have quite a few challenges, and there's things that aggravate the heck out of you that, we have to get cleaned up, and we're going to start doing that today.
The Cats hit the road to do battle with South Carolina this Saturday. It's back to work for the Round County football team after they were knocked off on the road by Fleming County 49-23 last Friday night. Round County's young secondary struggled to contain Fleming's passing attack, something that head coach Kelly Ford says his team will have to learn from.
Fleming, they had a really good quarterback. They stepped up to the plate and made some big plays. And for the most part, that's what got us the deep ball game. And we, unfortunately, our young cats are just not there yet. But, they're still battling and learning. That's all we can ask for.
Fleming's quarterback Josh Crump passed for 229 yards and 3 touchdowns in the game. The now 1-3 Vikings host Bourbon County Friday night for the first game on the new turf field at Paul Ousley Stadium. The Morehead State volleyball team is now 6-4 this season after winning 2 of its 3 weekend matches at the Comfort Invitational at Weatherby Gym. After beating both South Carolina State and Troy, the Eagles lost to Middle Tennessee State in 4 sets. Head coach Jamie Gordon admits he was disappointed about one key part of that defeat.
Turning some of the out-of-system situations and the scrappiness into good plays, and we just weren't doing a good job of improving contact to contact. And so when you don't have that quality first contact out of serve receive, you've got to make sure that you're improving the ball, and that's something we're going to have to work on this week heading forward.
The MSU volleyball team has 3 matches this coming weekend at the Red Flesh Classic at St. Francis of Pennsylvania. Finally in sports, it was a tough weekend for both Round County soccer teams. The Vikings boys lost Sunday to South Laurel 3-2, while the Lady Vikings tasted defeat for the first time this year on Saturday. Coach Alan Evans' group fell to 6-1-1 after a 2-0 defeat at Boone County.
Tough travel up there 2 hours on a Saturday. We had 2 starters out that had wedding responsibilities, so we weren't full force. But overall, not a good first half, a better second half, but I'd like to see them with full strength.
Round County soccer teams play on the new turf field at Paul Ousley Stadium tomorrow night. The Lady Vikes face Lawrence County at 6, with the boys taking on Frederick Douglass at 8. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Soccer will open their OVC schedule at Jane Stadium by hosting Murray State at 7 o'clock p.m. Thursday and Eastern Kentucky at 1 o'clock p.m. Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose sharply as the damage from Hurricane Irma didn't appear to be as bad as feared. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 259.58 at 22,057.37. The S&P 500 set a new closing record as it was up 26.68 at 2488.11. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 72.07 at 6432.26. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-1 in favor of winning stocks versus losers. Number of stocks did rally that were connected to the hurricane. Air Worldwide, which is a catastrophe modeling firm, said that it expects industry-insured losses stemming from Hurricane Irma to range between $20 and $40 billion, which was below their initial forecast. Shares of Travelers, Progressive, and American Air National Group all rose sharply today on the anticipation of less-than-expected losses connected to the hurricane. And also shares of reinsurers who could have been on the hook for extensive Florida damage surged today as Everest Re Group and XL Group saw their shares soar more than 4% respectively, and they were among the best performers in the S&P 500. And also travel companies did better today. Delta Airlines stock climbed 2.9%, while American Airlines rose 5.2%, and Carnival, the cruise line company, saw its shares advance 3.2%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 55 cents a barrel at $48.04. Gold was down $20.10, finishing at $1,331.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up, with the Stock 600 up just over 1%. And the in Asia, stocks were up as well, with the Nikkei up 1.4% and Hang Seng finishing up just over 1%. Among Dow Industrial stocks today, the best performers were Travelers and Cisco, and the worst performers were Home Depot and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were American Airlines and XL Group, and your worst performers were Equifax and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.89 at $63.56, CSX up 93 cents at $52.07, AEP up 34 cents at $74.53, AK Steel down 14 cents at $5.72, Marathon Petroleum up 33 cents at $53.75, and Anthem was up $2.10 to finish at $195.95. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Looking at the weather tonight, overcast with showers at times, lows near 60 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Tuesday, cloudy with showers, thunder possible, high near 75 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Tuesday night, rain showers early with clearing later at night, low of 61, chance of rain at 40%. Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to cloudy skies and rain in the afternoon, high around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. And Wednesday night, cloudy with periods of rain, low of 58 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Rainfall near a quarter of an inch. It is currently 65 degrees in Moorhead.
Taking a look at some upcoming events in your region, the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music is sponsoring a community square dance at Rowan County Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 12th. That's tomorrow. Enjoy live music and admission is free. The dance is beginner-friendly and all ages and ability levels are welcome. There will be a film screening of Far Above the Rolling Campus, a documented history of MSU, at 6 p.m. on Thursday, September 21st. The film will be presented on the second floor of MSU's Candom Carroll Library. Light refreshments will be served, and the event is free and open to the community. The 18th annual Rowan County Democrat Golf Scramble will be held on Friday, September 22nd, at Eagle Trace Golf Course. Registration begins at noon and cost is $50 for individuals and $200 for teams of four. Drinks and food will be provided. The Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center is sponsoring a lung cancer and smoking cessation symposium on Friday, September 22nd at the Center for Health Education and Research in Moorhead. There will also be a fall pharmacy forum on Saturday, September 23rd at Carter Cave State Resort Park. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James, and with our feature segment this afternoon, Ellen Barnett. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.